Welcome to the Fair Parenting Podcast, where we cover people's stories, ideas, and the progress towards fair parenting.
Welcome to the podcast. Today is an episode in the replay series. I revisit my discussion with Justin Breen, who discusses his book Epic Life, his Brepic organisation, and many other things to do with parenting. And he makes some interesting points about lawyers too. It's a really good discussion with him. So here we go, my discussion with Justin Breen. Today's guest is Justin Breen. He's the author of the Wall Street Journal and USA Today bestselling book, Epic Life, and he runs Brepic, a PR company. I first connected with Justin when I saw him online at Peter Diamandis' Abundance 360 event. Peter's podcast and work on exponential change and moonshots are inspiring. I recently listened to the audiobook of Epic Life and I enjoyed it a great deal. Many of us don't see our children or see little of them. Most of the episodes in this podcast are based on this scenario and it will always be the central focus, but we also want to discuss other parenting issues such as education, mediation, busyness, etc. for people who are in those situations. All parents, whether they're alienated or not, can have challenges juggling their time. Alienated parents have to juggle time with coping with trauma, working on a family court case, or just trying to keep our head above water. We will discuss Justin's thoughts on how he keeps his focus on his family during this podcast. This episode is also about moonshots, and I want to discuss Justin's idea of moonshots and whether reform of the family court system could be seen as one. Justin, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, I'm really excited to talk to you, Phil. I think this will be a really good interview.
Thanks very much for joining us. I really liked your book, and I found your work initially through your attendance at Abundance 360, which I believe was last week, was when I saw the online. Yeah, that seems like a really amazing event. I'm such a big fan of Peter's podcast and coverage of moonshots. What was it like actually being at the event?
Well, it's a great first question, and I really appreciate being on the show. Purpose of my life is to be a connecting superhero for every visionary who shares their stories with the world. So to be in person in attendance with 300 plus visionaries who want to share their stories with the world was, I was telling the people there, I had not been that extroverted since my wedding day, which was May 4th, 2008. So 4 days of being around my people, and then just every conversation just got better and better and better. It was just life-changing for sure.
Yeah, because you started your company, I think, just before COVID. I remember in your book you mentioned how few in-person meetings you'd had because of COVID, and that you thought that COVID had generated almost a new world of business opportunities and networking capabilities. As you say, it was a little bit unusual perhaps to have so many in-person meetings in a short space of time at Abundance.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I started first company in 2017. Mm-hmm. And knock on wood, it's always done well, but it really started to take off during COVID because there was just all this time to talk to people around the world, and then created a second company with someone I'd only met twice in person. And since COVID, I've done a few in-person meetings, but this was the first one where I really, you know, 4 straight days away from my family. That's the longest time I've spent away from my family. Yeah. Certainly since before COVID.
Yeah. Where is it held?
Yeah. So the main event is held just south of Los Angeles. Right on the ocean. It's just beautiful.
Yeah.
And then every other month there are virtual activities. So really excited for next year's event as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And can you tell us a bit about your Brepic company and how it helps entrepreneurs? Because was that the first company you started?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So the I'm a very simple person. So I'm either spending time with my family or talking to top visionaries on planet, which is fun, and then simplifying everything into patterns. So the formula for creating a successful global company is simple. As you see a problem, create solution, problem solve, successful global company. So I was a journalist for 20 years, created entire first company based on how PR firms annoyed me for 20 years. So saw a problem, create solution, problem solve, successful global company. So, and we just only partner with visionaries who are changing the world and they're tired of being best secrets. So it's the same formula and it just solves the problem. So it's endlessly fun, and visionaries connect me to other visionaries, and there hasn't been anything outbound in many years. And you just provide value to the right type of person and then they provide value to you.
Yeah. And do you work with people at a particular stage on their entrepreneurship journey?
Great question. So we've had two definite billionaires, one likely billionaire, multiple multimillionaires, and then I think in 6 years as an entrepreneur, I think there's been eight people that have been dirt broke, but they found a way to make the investment. Because at the highest level, there are no excuses, only action investments. So people make excuses to me. I have no concept of what that means. That's what separates entrepreneurs from humans. They just do whatever it takes. So at various stages, you're either a visionary or you're not. So as long as you're a visionary, that's fine with me, regardless of the income or revenue.
Yeah. And there's lots of really interesting content on how you see entrepreneurs in your book. I found it really interesting to read.
Thank you.
Also, you have a website, 52 Dates in 52 Weeks. That sounds, at face value, I thought that was some sort of dating site, but it's not. It is, but not quite. You know, I thought it was a sort of a dating sort of singletons type thing, you know. But it's more parent orientated than it sounded to me when I saw the website. Can you tell us a bit about it?
Thank you. So my wife is she's a pediatrician, and our first date was the day before she started medical school. So you don't date someone when they're in medical school or rotations or residency. And then we started to have children. So. And being an entrepreneur. And then my wife at the time was full-time doctor. So we never really dated. So, at the start of 2018, I'm like, we should go out once a week without the kids. And then, you know, at the time, I think I had like 40,000 followers on social media. So I kept posting every week, you know, that we were doing it, and it became a fun thing on social media. And then, you know, a lot of folks did stories on us, and we were here on the Today Show in the United States. And we still go out once a week, at least once a week. But it was funny because, like, people were commenting. They're like, we don't even have kids, and we never go out on dates. So we got people to actually start dating and prioritize their relationship first.
Yeah. And again, going back to your book, your focus is, I mean, it's entrepreneurship, but it's family first, isn't it? So looking at your daily questions that are in the book, two questions you ask are, did you grow your network at a global level? Yes. But did you have at least one good experience with your family today? And you also talk it just shows great focus on family, which often people don't have when they're going for moonshots or entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that I think it's every day that you said you meet somebody who is not family focused and not focusing on the family. Whereas you say of yourself, I'm a dad who happens to be an entrepreneur, not an entrepreneur who happens to be a dad. Now, a lot of us get busy, even people who have just day jobs. How do you keep that focus?
Yeah. One, I appreciate all the context and then you reading the book and really doing a deep dive in it. I appreciate that. I'm a very simple person. So I'm either spending time with my family or growing network. Most of the people I talk to, they're, you know, top visionaries on the planet. They're idea, 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 shiny object, shiny object, shiny object. I'm not like that. Ultra focused. And then again, brain turns everything into patterns. So I talk to one to two visionaries every single week, that have let entrepreneurial life destroy their family life or prevented them from having a family or having anything meaningful. So I'm like, well, that's a bad idea. I'm going to activate Maximize Achieve not doing that. So I would only need to hear that story once to know that that's a bad idea. But when you hear it once or twice a week, you know, it just reinforces it. So that's one. And then two, was a journalist for 20 years. So you don't get into journalism for employee count, office space, revenue, like that's just business owner stuff. So being a journalist, it was always about purpose and writing about and connecting cool people, changing the world. So that's what it's about now. I just spend more time with my family now than I did before.
Yeah. So if you see tasks sort of encroaching, I know it's quite interesting. You mentioned about shiny objects that other people have in your book, you know, for example, cars was one example that you gave. You know, obviously as people get successful, they want nice cars, but you kind of gave the impression that you just don't let things like that impinge on your family time.
No, that's also, again, thank you for saying that too. Like, to me, that would be illogical to, like, I have a nice car that goes fast. I just have my kids in the car and we all like to go fast. And then my wife's a stabilizing human pediatrician. She's like, you might want to slow down, but our kids are a mix of her empathy, warmth, and rules. And like, they're popular in school. They're 8 and 10. And then they have my like, yeah, go for it, no excuses. So it's a very interesting mix. But I mean, that's why I wrote the second book, you know, it's how to build collaborative global companies while putting your loved ones first. Cause like, you know, you talked about in the intro, a moonshot reforming, family law or that kind of thing. Like I strongly feel that message about putting loved ones first and building collaborative global companies, that's the right message. So that's the moonshot message to me. Mm-hmm. And something I'll never stop believing in, and then being a litmus test for the people I serve.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're an example of that, and your books are a teaching of that. Yeah. Right. So, I mean, obviously millions of people, parents and children, suffer within the family law system. And I know that this is a global problem. Some countries are much better than others, but I know in both Britain and America and Canada, Australia, India as well, it seems to be, I've heard somebody say that it tends to be the countries that are linked to English common law that are the worst. And just anecdotally, that does seem to be the case. Although why Australia and America and Canada haven't kicked out the rubbish from the English law, I don't know why that is, but the worst countries do seem to be the ones that I've mentioned. So it is a global problem. And I just wonder, I mean, I totally unconnected. I got listening to Peter's podcast, and that's of interest to me. And then obviously I'm fighting a family law case as well. And I'm also connecting in my podcast with people doing the same. And I just sort of thought, can that reform, because Peter talks about influencing millions of lives, could reform of that, do you think, be seen as a moonshot?
Absolutely.
Yeah, because I know a lot of the ones that Peter mentions, and, you know, I know you work with Dan Sullivan as well, and they talk about high-tech moonshots a lot. And that's, I mean, I've got a technology background in software, so I love it. I love it. But obviously family court reform is not high tech, probably. So I just wondered, does it have to be high tech to be a moonshot?
Absolutely not. In fact, like, again, even with book, How to Build Collaborative Global Companies While Putting Your Loved Ones First, that, I mean, it does have a tech relation, but it's more about meaningful things. It's a meaningful moonshot. And here's like, material moonshots are fine. I'm just all about meaningful ones.
Yeah.
Meaningful ones. And then with family law, I mean, I am not a family law expert in any means, but what I see with that, with any type of law, again, I'm a simplifier. So most visionaries are very high quick start and then very low follow through. So they're all over the place, all, you know, idea. Mm-hmm. Lawyers who are lawyers, not entrepreneurs who happen to be lawyers, but lawyers who are lawyers, they're for the most part very low quick start, very high fact finder, very high follow through. So that makes them great lawyers, but that makes it terrible for change in terms of a time frame. So that is playing not to lose as opposed to playing to win. So that entire, you know, not the entire, but most of that field is playing not to lose. Here's what we've done before. Let's keep doing that as opposed to let's do something different and see if it works better. So I do think that will change eventually, but I do think it will take much, 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 much longer than the standard moonshot. And it's the same with healthcare. Like healthcare,
yep,
takes forever to get things changed in many cases because it's doctors who are doctors. Not, my wife is a doctor who's a doctor. She's not an entrepreneur. I'm very grateful for that. But in her world, it's again, it's things just take time because it's low, quick start, high follow through folks running the show.
Yeah, that's interesting analysis. I hadn't really thought about that. Yeah. I mean, I'm hoping that Peter, again, I keep quoting Peter. I love his podcast. He talks about, I think it might have been Dan on Peter's, because they do a podcast, sure, together, don't they?
Yes.
Exponential Wisdom, which I can remember.
Right.
I think it was Dan or possibly Peter said that doctors will soon not be able to diagnose without AI. It, yeah, will be seen as malpractice. And so that obviously struck a light bulb in my head and thought, well, I wonder if judges and barristers can, mm-hmm, will that be the same for them? And will AI actually, for example, I saw on Twitter, somebody actually asked some questions of AI about, I think it was ChatGPT, about some points with family law. And it came back with actually some very interesting and common sense answers.
Right.
And obviously AI, I'm planning to do an episode of me just speculating about AI in the court system. And, you know, for example, case law, you know, as somebody who is, a lot of people in family court don't have money for solicitors or barristers. And to have AI produce case law for them so that they can use in court, or to write them a court statement. Yeah. So when I said 5 minutes ago that I didn't think it was perhaps technology-based,
it is.
It could be, yeah. You sort of drew the parallel between law and medicine.
Yeah.
And so I wonder if in the way Dan and Peter were talking about the coming effects of AI on medicine, that I wonder if that might be similar. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're a deep thinker and then you think in real time and then you come up with it. So you answer your own question with your own thinking, which is, I always find that funny. If you just let people talk it out, they'll come up with their own answer. So that's what AI is. You just AI'd yourself, but it was you. AI. Okay. So I on Strength Finders, Gallup Clifton Strength Finders, there's 34 of them. Most of the people I talk to are very high in ideation, endless ideas. I'm actually very low in it, 32 out of 34 in ideation. But when I have a good idea, my top three are activate, maximize, achieve. And then when someone says a bad idea to me, like torching their family for this, I'm like, well, I'm going to activate, maximize, achieve that. But AI for me, again, if you're not a litmus test for people you serve, that's hypocrite. AI to me is just a collaborative ideator. Like I can just, what do you think about this? And it spits out an answer, or spits out something I never even thought of because I'm not an ideator. So there's no reason you can't do that with law or whatever. I mean, it doesn't matter because it's the same formula. You see a problem, create solution, problem solve, successful global company. So AI can be the problem solver for anything.
Yeah. I mean, there's going to be resistance, obviously, but...
Right, from low quick starts. That's
yes.
I don't talk to low quick starts. I ignore that world.
Yes, unfortunately, if you're in a family court case, it's hard to get away from them. But I would go with your assessment there.
My solution to that problem is not to get divorced.
Yeah.
That is what I'm avoiding it. People ask me all the time. They're like, what do you worry about with your companies? I go, nothing. They're like, what do you worry about? I go, anything happening to my wife, anything. Without her, very bad situation. So I'm endlessly, the first thing I do every day is a grateful journal to her. That's what we
yes. do. Yeah. Yeah. It's actually a lot of successful people seem to do that. In some ways, I wonder, it's sort of like a habit that I could imagine people getting out of, but it seems that successful people actually stay with that. Is that something you do every day?
Every day. So my whole life is good patterns, which become good habits, and then recognizing bad patterns from others that become really bad habits. Okay, so torching family for entrepreneur life, that is a bad pattern. So don't do that. Okay, it's very simple, but okay. So the first thing I do every day is a grateful journal to my wife, 7 days a week. 6 days a week, I run outside no matter the weather conditions. We live in Chicago, terrible weather most of the time. So I've done that for like 20 years. listen to shows like these while I run. And then 5 days a week, I'll include this in that. Do a grateful journal on LinkedIn, what I'm grateful for that day. It's like a commercial for others. But I've learned if you're constantly grateful, it's hard to be ungrateful, and it attracts grateful people and repels arrogant, ungrateful people.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you mentioned your runs, you say that in your book, you mentioned that you listen to podcasts on positivity and abundance. Could you give us a few now, or would you be able to send us a few for the show notes?
For the podcasts that I listen to?
Yeah.
Sure. Hold on. I'll tell you now. So one, Multiplier Mindset with Dan Sullivan. That's a good one. I like EO360 with Dave Will. I've been on that one, which is great. The James Altucher Show, that is just an incredible – I mean, James is a full futurist. How Did It Happen with Mike Malatesta, that's a great one. He's also been a great PR partner. Capability Amplifier with Mike Koenigs and Dan Sullivan's a good one as well. And then anything with Peter. Anything with Peter.
Okay, so there's two there from Dan Sullivan that I didn't know about. So that's really
Dan has 400 podcasts. So Dan is that's an exaggeration, but he has like 9 or 10. But he's a 10 quick start with 2 follow through. 10 is the highest, and 1 is the lowest. So he's a full visionary. So him having 9 or 10 podcasts, that's what a 10 quick start and 2 follow through does. That makes perfect sense.
And I'm the scores that you are giving, is that the when you say 10 and 2, is that the Colby score that you mentioned?
Yes. Yeah. So that's the only thing I write down before I meet someone is their name and their Colby score, because I don't need any other context. But like most visionaries, I turn everything into patterns, but most of them are very high quick start and very low follow through. So that's ADHD, diagnosed or undiagnosed. It's not a disorder. It's a sign of genius mislabeled by humans. And then I'm the very, 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 very rare visionary that has high quick start, high follow through, and high fact finder. So hit the gas, pump the brakes, hit the gas, pump the brakes, say it, do it, say it, do it, say it, do it.
Yeah. And is this a test that people can do online? Or?
Oh, yeah.
I hadn't heard of it before.
KOLBE.com and then A Index Red Button. It takes 20 minutes, $55. So it's one English pound. It's 1 pound. That was a joke.
Okay, right. And similarly, you said to do with score. It basically measures. Is it personality type?
No, I don't care what anyone's personality is. I don't know if they're going to actually do something. So it's how your brain takes action. That's
right. Much. Solely focused on that. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, one thing that hampers action is overthinking. And
in your world.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing. In family court, you've got months sometimes between the hearings.
That's horrible.
It's unbelievable. It really is hellish. you know, you can be dealing with false accusations. You right. can be trying to make points and worrying that the judge
is the opposite of entrepreneur. It's literally the opposite of entrepreneur thinking.
Yes. Unfortunately, it's taken over my life for about for over 4 years now, and it's really it's destroyed many things that I wanted to do in life. But hopefully, it will be over soon. But it's not just me, as I say. It's a global thing. It's really it's taken a terrible toll on. I mean, it causes, I think, critical illness in people and suicides and harm. You know, children take their own life. It's just horrendous. And the courts take so long. It's just, if you wanted to design the worst system, I think you'd come up with this.
Well, that in the political, so there's one vertical I completely ignore, and that's politics. It's not because I don't like it. It's just the opposite of visionary abundance investment mindset. So it's argue instead of do anything. So law and most of the quote unquote elite politicians, they have legal background. Mm-hmm. So you're literally, those are low quick start, high follow through.
That's an interesting point. Yeah.
I just ignore, that is literally I'm a full activator. So being in a world where someone's taking 4 months to make a decision, that's literally torture for me, literally. So I just ignore it. And then I feel horrible, just horrible about that. You're stuck in that. But here's what so you're a visionary. So you just created a show, a platform to discuss it. And then you'll have people on there that can provide solutions of how they're changing it.
Yeah. Hopefully. Thanks very much for calling me a visionary.
You're definitely, do you have ADHD?
Not that I know of, possibly.
Yeah. Most of the people I talk to are ADHD diagnosed or undiagnosed.
Right. Okay. I do overthink as well. I think that's true. And so I think family court can increase this.
It's made it, you've got launched into a black hole of a vortex of overthinkers.
Yeah. Have you got any advice possibly for how to reduce that foot? Not so much for me, because I'm near the end of mine, hopefully now, but there's people today going into a solicitor's office for the first time. They probably have no idea what's waiting for them.
Hell. So I talk to people going through, I'm very sorry going through that. I talk to a lot of folks going through that situation, almost without the exception. They said, if you can avoid it, don't get divorced. Don't even do it. Okay. So that's one. Solve the problem before it starts. Two, I always tell, and I would knock on wood, I'll never get divorced, but I always told my wife, if anything ever happened, that whatever she wants is fine. Like, I'm not going to fight, and I just won't do it, because it's not worth it to be stuck in a 4-year. I just don't want to. Okay. So, and then three, people like me, not always, but people like me usually marry stabilizing humans. So my wife is a pediatrician. And then I always ask people like me, so is your spouse a teacher or a nurse or a social worker or like an engineer? And they're like, how did you know that? I'm like, well, imagine marrying yourself. That would be a bad idea. There's no. So you can even increase your odds of a successful marriage ahead of time by understanding. Again, if you're a visionary wackadoo like me, marrying a stabilizing human.
Yeah. That's good advice, I think, there. I mean, I'm quite a creative person, and I that has just largely been sucked out of me for four. It's like, as you said, a vortex. It's like your life has gone. You're all the things you could have done, gone.
Colby would be a good because if a high quick start, low follow through person marries a high quick start, low follow through, like there's no stability there.
I mean, yes.
None. That's why they usually end in divorce. I mean,
yeah.
There has to be some stability. I mean, there doesn't have to be. But if someone like me married someone like me, one of two things happens. One, greatest relationship, adventure, traveling the world, coolest thing. More often than not, it's a total dumpster fire because there's no
Yeah. You need a bit of yin and yang, I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Like, people meet my wife because we used to throw a lot of like parties and stuff pre-COVID, and then, you know,
yeah.
And she'll get on a call like this, and people meet my wife and they get very confused because she's like really sweet and loving and kind, fully stable, you know, pretty, very intelligent. And then I'm just like a full maniac in a good way. they get confused. But what has happened is, because when it opposites attract or whatever, it's like, so she's made me a human in some capacity, like just barely. And then now she takes more chances in life. Like she'll go a while once a week without the kids, or she'll, you know, want to travel the world. Because she came from a sheltered background, and now she does a lot more things that she never would have done before. So in our case, it's worked out great, but it's mostly because she's a stabilizing human. Yeah. And that's why I do the Grateful Journal every day to her.
Yes, yes. Oh, so you actually send her the journal entry?
I don't send it to her every day. Every couple of months I'll send it to her. But the most important thing for my wife is for someone to say thank you to her. I don't care if anyone says thank you to me, but for her, it's important. And so I write that, start my day with it, because it gets me in the frame of mind that no matter what she does, it doesn't matter what anything, she wants someone to say thank you to her. It could be the most menial, nonsensical task, but she wants me to say thank you to her.
Yes. So, yes,
that's it. It doesn't matter anything. Oh,
yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for doing that. Thank you. Thank you. All I do is say thank you.
Yes. No, I can see. Yeah, but it's complimenting each other, it sounds like.
Well, she doesn't need to compliment me. I need to compliment her.
I mean, in terms of your personalities.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. It's really funny there you mentioned gratitude. I mean, I bought a gratitude journal for the mother of my child, but this was before things got very, very bad. And it was in the sort of early stages. I was going to give it to her and I just didn't get round to it because of the way things were. But my child gravitates to that thing. I don't know why, because she's not quite able to read, or she can read, or she's beginning to read and write, but for some reason she always picks up the gratitude journal when it's, you know, when it's on a bookshelf. That's the one she goes for, and it's very strange. But yeah,
well, that because gratitude, well, you kind of just answer what I just said. Gratitude attracts gratitude and it repels,
right? Yeah
that's a logical. You know, the number one thing I learned from Abundance 360, and, you know, this is like the top futuristic thing, but what I learned is that people who are in their zone of genius or unique ability or in their moonshot, regardless of what that is, they're magically attracted to each other. It just organically happens like that. So the conversations you have, it's with other people in their zone of genius, and they're just literally attracted to each other. And so that book, for your child, it's a magnet of gratitude. I mean, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, yeah. Is that a bit like the magnetizing or attracting the right people that you just mentioned? Is that,
100%.
Was it Dan Sullivan in your book said, if you know what you want, the right people will find you? Or was it,
you reached out to me, right? So okay, so that's what happens. People want. I don't know like the scientific term of it, but like it's just an attraction. It's a magnetization.
Yeah.
And whatever radio frequency waves that you're sending out, it's just attracted. And then again, the people that are not in that space, they don't even come near you. It's really, and whether that's in person or it's online, and it's almost like they're not litmus tests for the people they serve, so they can't attract to people who are in that space. It's very interesting.
Yeah, yeah. And your book, you wrote it in 16 days, I read, which is that's pretty focused. I mean, a lot of us, they said everyone's got a book in them, and a lot of us want to write a book. I've sort of started it and stopped as the family court trauma takes over. But actually saying you want to do it and actually doing it is
meaningless to me.
Yeah. And I think Tony Robbins wrote his first book in a sort of 2 weeks or something like that.
I believe that. Yeah. He's probably a 9 or 10 quick start.
Yeah.
I mean, I just saw him speak a couple of days ago. If he's not a 10 quick start, Dan Sullivan's a 10 quick start. Peter's an 8. I'm a seven. I very, very, very rarely talk to anyone under a seven quick start anymore. I found that's the dividing line between visionary and human, is that seven quick start.
Okay. Well, that's I'm going to look into these Colby scores. I hadn't heard of them until I read your book.
Oh, yes. Send me your score. Send me your score.
Yeah. Yeah. And so at the end of your book, it was really interesting, actually, because I've been looking for somebody to do an episode about the Viktor Frankl book. And I've done some episodes about parental separation in movies, and I thought I want to do one about books, and this one, Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl, is something in the early days of my case where I didn't see my child for over 4 months when I was very, very young. I used to wake up hearing a baby cry at night, but there was obviously no baby there, but it was horrendous. But one of the things that got me through sort of the small hours of the morning was the audio book of Man's Search for Meaning. And I know Tony recommends it as well.
It's number one.
Yeah. And what you said about that you need faith in the future and it affects how your body is, and that, you know, you need to have this belief in the future in order to get through. I mean, I'm not comparing Family Court with what this book talks about. That's just plain evil, what was happening in these camps. There's no other word for it. But we've all got our challenges in life, and I'm guessing that the same applies in terms of you've got to have this belief in a positive future, and it will affect your body and your temperament. And you say in your book that you're always looking to build a brighter future. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's part of the moonshots as well, that people are trying to do that globally.
Globally. Yeah. On my strength finders, I'm high in relator, so I'm going to relate. One of my friends in Abundance 360, I'm certainly not going to say his name, but he has an amazing moonshot to help change the economy, homeless, poverty situations in major metropolitan cities throughout the world. And he's got the capital to do it. So he's not just talking. And I was talking to him, and he was talking about all this. The first time I talked to him, he was talking about all this and the capital he has to do it. And then I was asking him, how's his family? And then his wife, he and his wife are going through a horrible divorce. They're a horrible one. She and the children live halfway across the world, so he barely ever sees his teenage children. The middle child, I was just talking to him at Abundance 360, the middle child still doesn't talk to him. Yeah. And so he has all this stuff, but he doesn't have, and it's very sad. It's very sad because they have stuff, but you don't really have anything. And so I can understand and empathize with that at a very high level. But my litmus test is it's Viktor Frankl, one. And then my dad was shot down multiple times in combat in World War II, many times without a parachute, and he got back in a plane. So I just don't understand. I don't understand excuses. Like, that's, you're either someone who can get into a plane after another one was shot down and you're not wearing a parachute, or you're making an excuse.
yes.
That's what it is. I mean, and then Viktor Frankl, there's another one that just came out, The Escape Artist. It's about the first two Jewish prisoners to escape from Auschwitz. Incredible. I mean, those are my litmus tests. Like,
yeah.
And that's what separates entrepreneurs from humans, is they just don't make excuses.
What was that second book you just mentioned?
It's called The Escape Artist.
Escape Artist. Right, that's pretty. That sounds good. I'll have a look at that one.
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, The Choice is by Dr. Eva Edith Ager, or Edith Ava. She escaped the Holocaust. She's still alive. Mm-hmm. She wrote about it. That book's amazing. I don't think it's as good as Man's Search for Meaning or The Escape Artist. I think those two are better.
Yeah, yeah. And you also mentioned Jimmy, I might get this name wrong, Jimmy Valvano, basketball coach?
Oh, yeah.
So these are your three top lessons at the end of your book. And you might realize that people out in Europe don't know much about. So you're probably thinking, how does he not know Jimmy Valvano? But you have to forgive me there because we're pretty.
No, don't worry about it. No, he's so they started. He was a former college basketball coach who died from cancer. And he gave one of the most famous speeches in the last 50 years in America.
Yes.
What life meant. And then he started, right before he died, they started the Jimmy V Foundation, which raises money for cancer research. And there's been, you know, millions upon millions of dollars raised from that. Mm-hmm. And he talks about crying every day and laughing and then thinking. And thanks for bringing up that question, because now I've been listening to Earl Nightingale lately. Mm-hmm. He's like the OG. And then he starts one of his videos or audio recordings with, this was recorded decades ago. He's like, the trouble with men is they've stopped thinking. So I do a lot of thinking, not overthinking, active think and then actually do something.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, one of the things is, the family court, you are going to be gaslit. You're going to be accused of.
Yeah. That's why I would just be like, just take my wife's name is Sarah. Again, I'm not getting divorced. There's no, I'll be like, just do whatever you want. I don't want to go.
I can just imagine some people who are visionaries and people with moonshots coming in, getting sucked into the family court. And it's terrible for me. And I can imagine that because I've been in this world for 4 years and it just sucks the life out of you.
I can hear it, man. I can hear it because you've said sucks the life out of me 6 times. Yeah. Well, because that's what it. Yeah. So anything I can do to avoid having the life sucked out of me, I like to. Things that put pump life into me.
Yeah. And also the final of your three lessons at the end of your book was just enjoy playing. I think that was a quote from a football coach and
player, a high school football player.
Yeah, football player. That's right. It was the one who
Xander.
Was leaving. Yeah, it was his last game. Xander, that's it. His last game. Yeah. I mean, that's for somebody going through court, it's a good thing to try and hold on to and or look forward to at the end of it. Going back to Man's Search for Meaning, it's to have that. You know, this is going to end one day. And it's a bit like Tony talks about, you're going through winter. It's going to change. It will change. It won't always be like this. And you kind of need to have a focus on that and to just try and enjoy, you know, again, going back to gratitude, try and enjoy whatever you can while you're going through it, knowing that it will end, you know. So I think there's three good points there, and definitely the book recommendations are great. And you gave some podcasts that recommendations that I'm going to definitely be checking out and probably help the listeners too, I'm sure. As we wrap this up, two things. The first one, you mentioned your new book, and I haven't read that. I read your first book. Can you tell us a bit about that? The new book,
the one that Peter Diamandis wrote the foreword to.
He wrote the one for Epic Life, did he?
That is correct. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. So you mentioned I forget the title now, but you mentioned it earlier today. The second book, I think it is.
And Epic Life is the second book. The first book was Epic Business that came out in 2020.
Right. Okay. Sorry. So how does that relate to Epic Life? Are there any parallels?
Good question. Yeah. So the first book was written in 2020. Actually, I wrote it in 2019. So 30 months into First Company, on the 30-month anniversary, I posted 30 things I had learned from top entrepreneurs on planet in the first 30 months of how built First Company into a global company with zero business background. And so everyone's like, oh, you have to write a book on that. I'm like, okay. So wrote a book, and each one of those 30 things is a chapter. So that one was how to build a company with zero business background that only partners with visionaries.
Okay, that's something I'm going to be checking out later.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, that's a good one for that. And then Chris Voss, who wrote Never Split the Difference, did the forward for that one. So very grateful for
right. him. Because the other thing is you were a journalist until, was it 2017? So
yes.
Yeah, so you've come so far in quite a short space of time, which is inspiring in itself, really.
Thank you.
And lots of people will be in this situation where they're thinking, I want to start something, or just, I don't want to be doing this. You know, because I think you said you were a journalist for a long time, weren't you, and before you changed. Yeah. So obviously lots of people in that boat, and obviously they're trying to juggle that with children, and it may be their jobs.
Right, right. That's why.
Yeah. And I think you mentioned COVID being an opportunity in yes. some ways. And I think a lot of people sort of, when they got locked down, they kind of realized, hang on, I actually don't want to go back to my job I'm actually like my kids here now, and my wife, I actually did, you know, I think it's happening in America. There's a phenomenon in England, and I think it's, I'm pretty sure I've read this in America too, where that you've got a class of people that are around about 45, 50, and yes. they're not going back. They haven't gone back. And it's led to a big labor shortage.
That'll create more. So even before COVID, well before COVID, I did a lot of interviews, and like, there'll be more companies like First One, where it's high price point, low overhead, you do what you like to do and what you're good at, and you work with one type of person. I said that well before COVID. And then COVID certainly fast-tracked that. But yeah, like, if you can see your family as much as you want and do what you like to do and what you're good at and make as much money as you want to, like, who wouldn't want that? But entrepreneurs, they just don't make excuses. Most people, they can't handle the ups and downs of entrepreneur life, so they just never do it, or they make an excuse, or they stay as employees, and that's fine. It's just, I only talk to the people that don't make excuses.
Yeah. So once again, thanks very much for talking to us today. Where can people find out more about you and your social media links? You've got your 52 dates in 50.
Yeah.
Where can they see that?
Ideas. Justin Breen on LinkedIn, and but send me your Colby score. I'll be very interested to see what you're.
Okay, we'll do. Thanks very much, Justin. Again, I really appreciate you coming on the podcast, and it's just been super interesting to talk to you, hear your story, and read your book. And I think there's a lot of information there. I mean, I hadn't planned. I thought we were going to be talking mainly about how you manage your family time, and we come.
Oh, no. So it's always funny, because that's what I mean. People send me these long lists of questions, and yours I actually did read. Most of the time I never read them, but I'm like, no one's going to follow the script. I know that, because it never happens ever. It's never happened. But I do appreciate you doing a deep dive and getting all that knowledge, because it did help with the foundation.
Yeah, well, thanks. But we then went on to lots of other relevant areas, like the AI, and also what you said about the people in the legal system. I found funny, but true as well. So I think the listeners.
Well, it is. It's a hockey playing not to lose, and there everything's a cost. So later. So one of my good friends, fraternity brothers, he's a very high profile lawyer for like companies like Google. Like his firm works with big companies. And I go, I just genuinely want to understand why, can I kind of swear on this or no?
Sure.
So I go to him, I go, why are lawyers such cheap and they complain about everything? And he's like, you have to understand, in our field, everyone's trying to screw us over. Everyone, no matter what. And I'm like, well, I really appreciate you saying that, but that's the perspective they have, is that everyone is trying to get them if they don't have everything buttoned up. So I appreciated him saying it. That's the last conversation I had with any type of attorney, because I don't want to talk to them, but it was nice to understand their point of view.
Yeah. And how do you deal then in your business? Can you avoid them completely?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. I do avoid them completely.
Well, I look forward to whenever my case is finished, I look forward to a long time of not of doing the same, basically.
Right. Enjoy it. It's coming. The future is bright with no.
Brilliant. Okay, well, I won't take up your time because I know that it's very precious. And but thanks again. I wondered that if we were going to be talking for sort of 15 minutes because you were reading your book.
I could tell it was going to be good. Yeah, because it's a collaborative conversation.
Yeah. Great. Okay, well, thanks again. Take care, and all the best for the future. Best wishes, and thanks again for coming on.
Thank you, friend. This is a great interview. You did a great job.
Thanks for listening to this episode. Please join us next time.